Now grab your Bibles and journey with me to Jonah chapter 1. I think so. I mean, it's the second week in a row. Deacon, last week I said, if you can't stand, we understand. Now I come out, I'm telling you, I'm dropping it. I'm going to do it. Jonah chapter 1, to all of our elders and ministers and our deacons, our mothers, ladies, swims, and to all of God's people. It's just a blessing to be alive and well, y'all. I tell you, it's a blessing to be alive and well. We are just grateful for all that God is doing. Jonah chapter 1, one verse that we're going to look at this morning. Jonah chapter 1, as we start a new series, as we make our way, our pathway to Resurrection Sunday, which is the last Sunday of this month, that we celebrate the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We start a new series today entitled, What Mercy Looks Like. What Mercy Looks Like. Jonah chapter 1, verse 17. Jonah chapter 1, verse 17. When you have it, say amen. If you don't, just say, wait on me, Pastor, wait on me, I'll wait for you. Amen, I'll wait for you. Amen. Go to your table of contents. I know it's been a minute since you went to Jonah. Amen. Go to your table of contents. It's all good. Amen. It's all good. Jonah chapter 1. Thank God for our music ministry. Amen. Leading us in worship. Amen. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation of the Bible, and it says, now the Lord had arranged for a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and three nights. Now the Lord had arranged for a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and three nights. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, the preacher's going to preach about when mercy meets rebellion. Turn to your neighbor on your other side and say, neighbor, just in case you ain't hear me, the preacher's gonna preach about when mercy meets rebellion. God, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for this opportunity that we have to come and to sit at your table and to dine. God, we're so grateful that we look at different restaurants, that we look at Ruth Chris when it comes to fine dining, Father God, but you are the CEO of fine dining, and we are so glad that we get to come to your table and that we get to eat well, Father, to eat well this morning as we come to your table to be able to glean from your word that we may grow, Father. So I pray now that we have eyes, that we have eyes open to be able to see what you're saying in your word, ears open to hear what you're saying, Father God, and feet that are ready to obey and to put your word into practice. And it's in the strong name of Jesus we pray, and all of God's people said, amen, amen. As you're taking your seat, just say something good to your neighbor. Say something good to them as you're taking your seat this morning. When mercy meets rebellion. If we could be honest this morning, all of us have a little bit of rebellion in us. We may not want to admit it. We may not like to admit it, but rebellion does not just come in big ways. Rebellion happens in small ways. Rebellion shows its face when we are on our way to a destination and we have put in the address in our GPS system to where we are desiring to be able to go. But if you get like me every now and then, Brother Steele, I think I know more than my GPS system. And I think that I know a shortcut to be able to get me to where I have to go, Sister Baker, which is almost kind of insane. Why would I put the address in the GPS system and yet still go back and forth with the GPS system about where I need to go, Brother Moses? Why would I ask them for their advice and set the voice up just right and set the pace and the music just right to set the scenario up, but yet still to go against what the GPS system is saying? It sounds insane for us to be able to go back and forth literally with a device in our vehicle, going back and forth with them as if they're having a real conversation with us to show that we know more than they know. And what we end up doing is we end up delaying our destination, all because we rebelled. We end up delaying our destination, getting there later than we should have, all because we rebelled. Jonah understands what rebellion looks like. Bible says right there from chapter 1 that Jonah was a prophet of God, that God was using to be able to go and to be his messenger. Now, when I say prophet, Jonah was not the prophets that we see now that's selling you miracle waters and selling you prayer cloths and just charging for everything that they do. And no. Jonah was a messenger of God. When you look at prophets in the Old Testament, they would come and they would deal severely with God's people. They would deal with their sins. They would deal with the error of their ways. God would use them as their mouthpiece to be able to share the truth of God. They didn't care about making friends. They didn't care about if you liked them or not. They shared what God had to say. In fact, they saw themselves as mailmen. They would just come and drop whatever it was that God said for them to say, and then they would go on about their way. They were not trying to make friends. They were not pastors. They were not evangelists. They were prophets. They were to come and to share what God had to say, and then they would go off to the next assignment. But this was a different type of prophet, that he gets an assignment from God, but he has a problem with the task that God is giving him. God tells him, he says, hey, Jonah, I have an assignment for you. I want you to go and preach to the people of Nineveh, and I want you to speak and tell them and that I'm going to deal with them severely because of their wickedness. Their wickedness has come up before me, and I'm using you as my mouthpiece to go and to deal with the people of Nineveh. Jonah said, wait a minute, hold up, God. Now, if you had said go anywhere else, I might have been game for, but I do not want to go to Nineveh at all. Theologians say that the Ninevites, that they were a very wicked and violent people. They were people, get this, you all, that they would kill their enemies, and then they would take the bodies of their victims and they would put them on display, and then later on they would paint pictures of their victims to be able to show what they had done. So listen, I can very well understand why Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh and to be able to preach against the people, because he's thinking to himself, if I go and preach to the people of Nineveh, there is a big chance that I very well could lose my life. I could be the next masterpiece if I am to go and to preach to the people of Nineveh. So in him telling God no, he's thinking about his life at the same time. Really, what God is looking for Jonah to do is, God is looking for Jonah to be a part of his will. God is looking for Jonah to be in the will of God, to align his life, to align his actions with the will of God. Let me give us a working definition of the will of God. The will of God is the sovereign plan of the Father. Real simple, you all. The sovereign plan of the Father. There's a sovereignty of God. You often hear me talk about that, how God is able to do what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, how he wants to do it, and he never has to meet with the board. He never has to meet with the committee. He never has to run anything by anybody, because he's God. He is the creator of everything. He can do exactly what he wants to do when he wants to do it. But here's the amazing and beautiful part of it all, that even though God is sovereign and he can do what he wants, when he wants, how he wants, he desires for us to be a part of his plan. Even though he could pick anybody else, he could use anybody else, I'm always aware, Elder Ford, that listen, this thing that God is doing here at Hopewell has nothing to do with me at all. He's using me, but God always has somebody else on the backside of the desert that is ready and willing to be raised up at any time. All of us can be replaced. We are not that anointed. We are not that good. We may play well. We may sing well. We may talk well, but we are yet still replaceable. That if we get the big head and that everything thinks it is about us and think that we're doing this all on our own, God can fire us and keep us on the job at the same time and raise up somebody else that will align themselves to the will of God. God desires for all of us to be a part
of the sovereign plans that our Father has. God desires for Jonah to align himself. God desires, because here it is, saints of God, that whenever God is commissioning us, whenever God is asking us, whenever God is desiring for us to be a part of whatever it is that he's doing, every move that God desires to do in our lives takes a flesh adjustment from us. Oh, God, let me say it again. That was really good. Amen. Everything that God desires to do in our lives, how God desires to move and groove and work within us, it requires a flesh adjustment from us. Meaning that we don't allow ourselves to become consumed in our will and what we want to do and when we want to do it, but that we adjust our flesh to adjusting to God's will and way. Have you ever had a moment where the sovereign plan of the Father didn't match up with your plan? Oh, talk to me this morning. I'll walk out there and put the mic to your mouth. Have you ever had a moment in your life where the sovereign plans of God did not look like what you wrote down? Have you ever experienced the sovereign plans of God being totally different than what you thought your life would be? The will of God takes a flesh adjustment on our end, not on the other side where God adjusts to our will, but that we adjust our flesh to his will. He's asking Jonah. He's telling Jonah, because here it is, saints of God, truth be told, he is not asking Jonah. He's telling Jonah, I want you to go and preach to Nineveh. I want you to remind them and to give them, make them aware that their wickedness has rose up against me. He is never asked Jonah, hey, Jonah, when you get time, do you mind? Not every parent can be able to attest to the fact that when you give your children certain commands, you're not asking them, hey, when it's convenient and it works with your schedule, would you mind cleaning your room, please? Hey, when you feel like it and when the power of God comes over you, would you mind taking out the garbage? No, whenever you give your child a task, your idea is that whenever they receive it, they are to stop what they're doing immediately and do exactly what you said to do, how you said to do it. And if there is a delay or if there is a critique in the directions that you've given, there will be consequences. And here it is, saints of God, every parent is laughing, but let me help us out real quick. God is the same way. Every request, every command that he gives us, his idea and his desire is that my child, whom I have died and bled for, will do exactly what I said, when I said it, and how I said it. And if they do not follow through with what I said and how I said it, there will be consequences for their actions. Because get this, the plans, the assignment still has to be completed and finished. Even though you may have been slow for, even though I know you've been putting off doing the dishes, children, I know you've been putting off doing your chores, but the task will still be, if I have to wake you up early in the morning before you go to school, if I have to wake you up right when you're getting ready to go to that next level of sleep, the task will still get done. And God says the same thing to us. If I have to rearrange your entire life, if I have to pop in with circumstances, my will will still be accomplished. If you don't want to adjust your flesh to my will, I will help you adjust your flesh to my will, because my sovereign plan of my Father still has to be completed. Jonah says, all right, God, I'm not just going to say it with my words, but I'm going to show it in my actions. Look at verse 3. But Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. He went down to the port of Joppa, where he found the ship leaving for Tarshish. He bought a ticket and went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. Jonah said, all right, God, I'm not feeling what you're saying. I don't like what your will is. I don't like what your plans are. So I'm not just going to say it with my words, but with my actions. I'm going to go the total opposite direction of where you desire for me to go. And Jonah thought, okay, if I can be able to escape physically from God, then I can be able to get my way out of doing what God has said to do. And when we think that we can get out of doing what God has said for us to do, God knows how to turn our lives into one-on-one classrooms to be able to get our attention so that we'll have to know. We will know that it's not the enemy. We will know that it's not the devil. We will know that it's not the tax man. We will know that it's not anybody else. We will know that this rearrangement that's taking place is my life. It has been divinely created by God. Let's walk through the text, y'all. This is right here in verse 4. He says, but the Lord hurled a powerful wind over the sea, causing for a violent storm that threatened to break the ship apart. Fearing for their lives, the desperate sailors shouted to their gods for help and threw the cargo overboard to lighten the ship. But all this time, Jonah was sound asleep in the hold. I got to ask this question this morning, saints of God. Could we be the problem to our own storms? Could the storm or storms that you may be facing right now not be an initiation by the enemy? May not be the initiating of someone that hates you, but could you be the own problem to the issues that you are experiencing right now? Could your disobedience, let me curse this morning, could your disobedience be the reason why your life is a tornado right now? Could it be that your life is in shambles right now and you're experiencing all four seasons all at the same time because of you and your lack of obeying what God has said to do? Because here it is, saints of God, Jonah knows exactly what God has said for him to do. And Jonah has deliberately said, God, no, I'm not doing it. And the moment that Jonah said no, God said, it's all cool in the game, brother, because you failed to realize I am God and God all by myself, and I ain't got to check with nobody else. So I will interfere with your life without even asking if I could come in and do what I need to do and turn your world upside down until you say yes. God will come into our lives and turn our lives upside down, sideways, in and out, until we adjust our flesh to his will. So what are you saying, Pastor? It's always wise of us to be able to adjust our flesh to doing his will rather than for God to adjust our flesh. Oh, my daddy used to always have a saying that when I wanted to get out of line and do some stuff, he would say, son, I got something that can be able to fix that. And when he said that I got something to be able to fix that, he had my grandfather's thick brown belt that had his name in the back of it. And his grandfather's name was Buddy. And I knew that whenever I saw Buddy, he didn't have to touch me with it. If I just saw it, Sister Bryan, something happened. The fear of God came over me. It could just be out. He could just put it out just a little bit. And if I saw the tip of the belt, I just had a flashback right now. Lord, help me. Jonah is on the boat because here it is, saints of God. Your disobedience does not just impact your life, but your disobedience impacts the lives of innocent bystanders that has nothing to do with you, nothing to do with the issue, nothing to do. These guys are on the boat minding their own business, but they begin to recognize. So they said, wait a minute now, we have an experience. experienced any storms. We haven't experienced any type of wild weather until this guy named Jonah came on the boat. He is sitting there kicking his sleep in that next dimension of sleep, and they wake him up. They said, sir, don't you realize what's happening right now? Come on. He says, wake up. Get up and pray to your God. Maybe he will pay attention to us and spare our lives. Look at verse 7. Then the crew cast lots to see which of them had offended the gods and caused a terrible storm. When they did this, the lots identified Jonah as the culprit. Why has this awful storm come on us, they demanded. Who are you? What is your line of work? What country are you from? What's your nationality? Jonah answered, I am a Hebrew and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. The sailors were terrified, but when they heard this, for he already told them that he had been running from the Lord. And why did you do it? They groaned. They said, brother, wait a minute now. You mean to tell us you have deliberately disobeyed God and you bring your tail on our boat, and now we got all these storms and issues going on all because you failed to disobey God? Because you failed to obey God? You have put all of our lives in danger because you wouldn't say yes. Who's going through a storm all because you said no to God? Who? Because look at this, saints of God. These are not people that are related to him, Elder James. These are folks that he just so happily met, Minister Lynn, when he got on the boat. Strangers whose lives are being impacted. Jonah said no to God because he knew the character of the Ninevites. But Jonah said no to God because he felt like these people wasn't worthy of God's mercy. Yeah. And he wanted them to receive the full wrath of God because of their sins. Sounds like some religious church folks to me. Yeah. Instead of experiencing the mercies of God that he's experienced in this life. How do we decide who deserves mercy and who doesn't when it has been freely given to our trifling selves? But we want to say who's deemed to get grace and deemed to get mercy. And we sit back and we want people to get the full wrath of God, and we fail to realize if it had not been for his mercy, if it had not been for him exposing us to his grace, not once, not twice, and I'm not talking about while you were out there doing your own thing before you asked him to be your Lord. I'm talking about since you've been saved. If it had not been for his grace, when you should have been exposed, you should have been on Larry Reed Live. You should have been. But we have the audacity to say who should get mercy and who shouldn't. Jonah doesn't want to go to Nineveh because he knows the character of the people. But the big reason Jonah doesn't want to go to Nineveh because he doesn't want to share what has been given to him freely. How can you be stingy with something that was a gift to you? How can you be stingy with something that you paid absolutely nothing for? Jonah just doesn't want to go to Nineveh because of the character of the people. Jonah doesn't want to go to Nineveh because he doesn't want them to experience what he has experienced. And what he has experienced is mercy. Pastor, what is mercy? Mercy is simply compassion in action. Mercy is compassion in action. They get word. Hey, Jonah is the reason why. Jonah is the reason why we have had this terrible storm that has come. And finally, once we get to verse 12, Jonah recognized the fact, I'm the reason why this issue is. Look at verse 12. He says, throw me in the sea, Jonah said. And as soon as they threw him into the sea, it became calm again. He says, I know that this storm is terrible, and I know that this storm is our fault. Can I help us this morning? Oh, God, help me this morning. Ford, start my car up. I'm getting in trouble when I say it. Amen. Can I help us real quick when it comes to relationship? Some relationships that we have could be reconciled right now. If we were to lay our pride and arrogance down, hearts could be mended if we could admit by saying, it was my fault. I'm the reason why this went left. I'm the reason why we are where we are right now. I'm the reason why so much has come. It is my fault. It was not until Jonah was able to admit that it was his fault that the storm calmed completely down. What family relationships could be reconciled if you could just lay your pride to the side and admit, it was my fault? What relationships could be better if we could just admit, it was my fault? I'm the reason why this went left. I'm the reason why. Jonah had to grow up and mature. He had to take ownership and responsibility for the part that he played in this whole thing. And God is looking for us. He's looking for us to be bold enough that he will give us the grace to be able to take ownership of our responsibilities and say, I'm sorry, it is my fault, I did this. How many parental relationships with their children could be better if someone would just say, it was my fault? What marriages could be solved and salvaged if they would just say, it was my fault? Amen. What church relationships? I know you came in, you've been singing praises to God, but you're looking crazy at the other. What church relationships could be salvaged if you would just say, it was my fault? Amen. Throw them over into the sea. And it's when he's thrown into the water. Verse 14. Then they cried out to the Lord, Jonah's God. Oh Lord, they cried. Oh Lord, they pleaded, don't make us die for this man's sins. And don't hold us responsible for his death, oh Lord. You have sent the storm upon him. For your own good reasons. Verse 15. Then the sailors picked Jonah up and threw him into the raging sea. And the storm stopped at once. The sailors were awestruck by the Lord's great power. And they offered him a sacrifice and vowed to serve him. Mercy often resembles God's divine protection. Oh, the whole church should have went up when I said that. Let me say it again. Let me use my preacher's voice. Mercy often resembles God's divine protection. Mercy often resembles my life should be gone.
Come on, sir.
But God steps in with compassion in action and saves me for me.
Come on.
Mercy destruction. Verse 17. Now the Lord had arranged for a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and for three nights. Here is the beauty of this story. People of God, please don't miss the mercy that we are seeing in the life of Jonah right now, please, because I hope that you can be able to testify and look at your own life and be able to track God's mercy in your life. Jonah gets a command from God. I want you to go and preach to Nineveh and tell them that their wickedness has come up before me. Jonah says, I'm not just going to say no with my words, but with my actions, I'm going to go in the opposite direction. I'm going to deliberately disobey you, and my disobedience is going to impact and affect the lives of innocent people that have nothing to do with me at all. But to catch this though, even though I have been disobedient, God still gets the glory, because the guys that were on the ship were pagan worshipers, but because of the storm that has come into their life, they all began to pray and cry out to God. And because they prayed and cried out to God, they were in awestruck, because they had never seen the power of God work like this before. I know I don't have any witnesses in here. We all have messed up. We all have been deliberately disobedient to God. But even in our disobedience, God is still bad enough that he will allow for his glory to be revealed in our disobedience. Jonah now recognizes the fact, I'm the reason why all this stuff has been going on. Throw me overboard. Throw me over into the water. And now the storm stops. God could have drowned him. God could have killed him. But he said, I still have a plan and purpose for your life with your rebellious, trifling self. I still want to use you. I know you walked away. I know you turned a deaf ear. But I still have a plan and purpose for your life. Who am I preaching to this morning, in person or online, that you recognize I can see the pattern of mercy in my life? I can see the compassion of God in my life. I can see compassion in action in my life. God could have killed him. God could have said, I will no longer use you. But he allows for a fish. Well, to swallow him. Oh, man, y'all missed y'all shout. God displayed his power that he allowed for a whale, a fish, to swallow Jonah. But he had enough power over the situation. And he said, listen here, whale. He gonna spend a night in your stomach for a little bit. But you don't have the power to destroy him. You don't have the power to eat him. You don't have the power to kick him out. Because you are a part of my creation, I have authority over you as well. So he's going to stay there as long as I need him there, so that I can be able to get his attention, so that he can be able to see me. Somebody ought to thank God that mercy came up when God came in your life, and with some stuff should have went left, that God had a way of someone coming and snatching you out of a situation. God had a way of having someone that talked you out of a situation. God had a way of displaying his mercy to remind you, I could have killed you if you wanted to, if I wanted to. I'm God enough that I could have taken you out, but I've showed you my compassion in action one more time. And somebody, I know I can testify that I have not just experienced his mercy once, I have experienced his mercy on a continual basis. That when I did not do what I should have done, when I did not adjust my flesh to his will, he showed me mercy after mercy. Mercy after mercy after mercy after mercy after mercy after mercy. Because what God will do, God will put us in isolation where he has our attention. And that we see him, he will block, he will disconnect everything temporarily.
Yes, he will.
To ensure that in this season, in this moment, that I have your full and undivided attention. Mercy resembles protection. That if I keep letting you go your own way and not interrupt you, you will sabotage what I'm trying to do in your life. So let me step in and let me end the relationship, even though you want the relationship to continue. I know you really want this opportunity. I know you really want this job. I know you really want this promotion. I know you really want this. Let me go ahead and shut this down because mercy resembles protection. You don't know about conversations that I know about. So let me go ahead and shut this thing down. Mercy resembles protection. I know you want this person. I know that you think they could be able to help you get to the next level, but let me stop them from responding back to your emails and text messages. Because mercy resembles protection. And when we have been rebellious and deserve death, God extends mercy. His compassion in action when we deserve death. Because even in our rebellion, God suffers long with us. He's patient with us. Giving us time and space to get our flesh adjusted so that we can say yes to the sovereign plans of the Father. Can you look through the course of your life and see the mercy points that God has extended towards you? And once again, I'm not talking about before you got saved. I'm talking about since you've been saved with your blood washed self. I'm talking about since you've been saved. Can you see the mercies of God when your life should have been taken? Can you see the mercies of God that was extended to you time and time again while he was patiently waiting for us to turn back to him? Thank God that there's mercy for my rebellion. Thank God there's grace when I go the other direction. I'm going to allow this fish to swallow you for 3 days and three nights so I can protect you from you. Because here's a big idea, and I'm done. It's not even 12 o'clock. What may look like an act of punishment is actually an act of mercy. What we deem as a punishment is God's compassion and action. Pastor Brian the Ritz shares a story about his son. Son is not doing what daddy is telling him to do. And he notices the trend that has happened continually, and it keeps on happening. So like any good father, he calls his son to the room His son walks into the room and he sees the belt laid out on the bed, so he already knows daddy is coming on business right here. He already knows what's about to go down. Pastor Rich sits his son down and begin to talk to him and just share with him how it has grieved his heart on how his son has not done what he asked him to do. And he asks his son, you know why I have this belt here? He said, yeah, dad, I know why. He tells him to assume the position. Pastor Rich takes the belt and he begins to hit himself over and over again. The son is confused because he's trying to figure out, wait a minute, daddy, you just called me in here. We done have this long conversation. I don't know if anybody else's parents used to do that. My dad would always talk to me before he would whip me, and I never understood what is there to talk about. Let's get this over with, sir. I'm sitting there being reminded of all of my sins and iniquities, and he bringing everything up before me. I mean, it's that good crying. You hyperventilate, you're shaking, you can't get your words out, you sound like a rapper because you're stuttering. Dad, I am sorry. I mean, just saying the same thing over and over again, and he wants to talk. Why do you want to talk? Because the talking is not going to change your mind. You got buddy out already. There ain't nothing to talk about. The son is confused because Pastor Lawrence is hitting himself, and the son turns around and says, wait a minute, daddy, what are you doing? You just sat down with me and talked to me. You told me what was going to happen. I saw the belt when I came into the room. He said, son, I know you deserve to be whooped.
Come on.
He said, but because I love you so much, what you should get, I'll take it myself.
My God.
What you deserve, I'll take it myself. Jethro would say, out yonder on the hill called Calvary.
Hey, come on.
What we so deserve, he took our place instead. That we deserved death and hell. He stood there on that cross. Having to be shamed, walking amongst the same people that were saying, Hosanna. Had them then turned over and said, crucify him. Theologians say that he was whipped so bad that his mother couldn't even recognize him. There with nails in his hands, nails in his feet, crown of thorn on his head. And even while he's there, stuck between two thieves, one thief has enough sense to say, when you come into your father's kingdom, remember me. And he stops dying on the cross to tell this guilty man, today you will be with me in paradise.
Yes, God. Yes, God.
He's there on the cross and he looks out and sees his mother with the other disciples. And he says, mother, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. Let this mama know, even though I'm dying, I'm going to stop dying to let you know that I'm going to take care of you. Every breath that he took life from him. To reassure us of his mercy. He who knew no sin became sin, that we might become the righteousness. I got two girls, and for me to have to sacrifice them for people who may never ask me into their hearts. For me to sacrifice my children and yet you abuse my grace and my mercy? Scripture said that while we were yet sinners, sinning, he died. Mercy. Mercy. His compassion in action. Can you look back over your life and see pattern of mercy? I wrote down Wednesday, as we prayed for families, for God to cover my two great nephews. They were on my heart. I wrote their names down. We had to drive to Mississippi Friday for a funeral. Get there, me, Brittany, the girls, my sister, we made it there. My niece, her boyfriend, the two boys headed down from Chicago. Sparkle texted me. They were on the road, maybe about 30 minutes away from Grenada, Mississippi. And police were after trying to catch somebody, and they threw down spikes to stop the vehicles. Mocha and her boyfriend and the boys hit one of those spikes, and tire was messed up. That could have been an instant death as we're going to a funeral. But mercy. But mercy. God's divine compassion in action. God's mercy. Can you look over your life and see a thread, a long thread of God's mercy in your life? What does mercy look like? Mercy looks like protection. And sometimes that protection is not just from the enemy. Sometimes that protection is from yourself. And God is wise enough, and God is God enough to know, if I don't intervene, they will self-sabotage. But let me step in with my mercy. Let me throw my weight around. Let me display my glory and my power. I know they deserve death because they've been so rebellious, but let me display my power one more time. Can you see a thread? Mercy. If it was not for the grace of God, where would we be? If it was not for the grace of God, what would we be? As we get ready to come to the Lord's table this morning, let us be reminded of his mercy. Let us be reminded of his grace extended towards you and I. More than it should have been. As our deacons and ministers and elders are coming now,